You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Chris Molina.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, those battling chronic illnesses, especially children, can be inspiring and heroic. We'll talk with a Wisconsin artist who's helping those kids see themselves as superheroes.
First, the partisan primaries were last week, and the general election is now underway.
Wisconsin voters have some big choices this November, including who will serve in the U.S. Senate and whether to reelect Governor Scott Walker to a third term or elect State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers.
Marquette University Law School is out with their latest poll measuring how voters in the state are feeling about these races and much more.
Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here. Happy August.
Yeah, happy August. Happy almost late August. How did that happen?
Well, yeah, really.
Let's start with the governor's race. Among likely voters, how are Scott Walker and Tony Evers doing?
Pretty even. 46 for Evers, 46 for Walker. 6% for the Libertarian candidate, Phil Anderson. So close race, as close as it can get, and tighter than the 4-point Walker lead that we had back in June. So certainly a post-primary bounce, if you will, for Tony Evers.
Well, and it seems like that might be a good sign for Tony Evers since he is the lesser-known quantity.
I think it is in that, first of all, both he and Leah Vukmir are coming off of primary wins. You would expect that to be good news for both of them. Also, we are now looking at likely voters instead of just all registered voters. So likely voters are more interested and involved in politics, and they know a bit more about the two challengers. And so actually in both races, that helps the challenger make these races closer than they are among all registered voters, which includes people who haven't tuned into the race yet.
How has Tony Evers done in increasing his name recognition? He has been elected to statewide office, so is in a little better position there. But I know one of the things you measure is, do people know who he is? And how is Evers doing?
And he's steadily improving on that. Throughout the Democratic primary period, he was the best known or the least unknown, but it was still around 60% that didn't have an opinion about him. That's down to 46% now with registered voters, and it's in the 30s with likely voters. Vukmir's had a similar kind of trajectory, and I think we will see them both become better known throughout the fall campaign. Still, there's a big gap of how well known they are. Walker and Baldwin are both enormously better known than either of the challengers at this point.
There's being known and there's people thinking well of you. How are people's opinions shaping up on Tony Evers?
He's a net positive. We asked this by, do you have a favorable or unfavorable view? And at the moment, he's a net plus 8, 31 to 23 on that measure. So that's a more positive than negative view. But again, those numbers remind you that there's still a fair bit of don't knows in there who aren't able to give a rating.
Well, incumbents run on their records. How is Governor Walker's approval rating looking?
His rating right now is 48-45, approved, disapproved. It was 47-45 last month. Barely changed at all, but a little bit higher than it was. His real recovery is from approval ratings down in the 30s during 2015 and 16. He's worked those back up so that approval is not yet up to 50, but it's at least in the upper 40s. In our last three polls, he's finally moved approval slightly ahead of disapproval after being tied earlier in the year and net negative before that.
I thought it was really interesting that, as you said, Tony Evers and Scott Walker are tied at 46% among likely voters. Libertarian Phil Anderson came in at 6%. That only leaves 2% who say that they don't have a preference or don't lean towards a particular candidate. What does that mean for Walker and Evers trying to pull ahead?
Yeah, this is a challenge, and it shows, certainly in Walker's case, how well-known he is. He's seeking a third term as governor, having won three races before. So it's maybe not shocking that that would be a case where people had pretty strong opinions already. We also are asking people if they say, I don't know how I'll vote, well, do you lean towards one candidate or not? But the truth is, in the governor's race, there were very few people, even in the first question, who said they didn't know where they were. So this can change a bit over time. New issues can come up. Events could occur. So I'm not prepared to say this race will be static the entire year. And then finally, it matters a lot about turnout. And in a midterm election, when turnout is lower overall, which party is better able to mobilize people as we come up into November?
We're talking with Charles Franklin right now. He's director of the Marquette University Law School poll, and the poll just released new results today. We're picking those apart. And Charles, you know, you just talked about getting out the vote and people, you know, whether they're going to come out for midterms or not. In terms of enthusiasm, we've been hearing a lot about how enthusiastic Democrats are, but you all talked to registered voters, and it sounds like Republicans might actually be slightly more energized. Was that a surprise finding?
Yeah, it is. It's fluctuating, I think, is the way to think about it. We have seen Democratic turnout be very high in the special elections in the state and in the party primary last week. About 80,000 more Democrats turned out than Republicans. So I think there's a lot of non-survey evidence that Democrats are pretty energized right now. In our data, Democrats have been more enthusiastic to vote than Republicans by 10 points, 4 points, and 7 points. But today's result showed Republicans just 2 points more excited than Democrats. That's a close margin, but I would really stress that it's fluctuated a good bit. Enthusiasm is something that campaigns can build, events can build, so we shouldn't expect it to be a static thing. We should expect it to move around a bit. And then finally, plus 2 points for Republicans is still easily inside the margin of error. I wouldn't go overboard with that. But maybe Republicans got a little bit more of a kick out of the primary than Democrats did.
We've touched on the U.S. Senate race a bit, but I just want to get some numbers attached to that. As we've said, State Senator Leah Vukmir is taking on incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. Where are they both at in numbers right now?
Well, with likely voters, it's close. It's 49 for Baldwin, 47 for Vukmir. In our June poll, we had Baldwin up by 9 points over Vukmir among registered voters. If you look at registered today, it's Baldwin by 8, 51-43. So that's a big difference, an 8-point gap versus a 2-point when you switch from registered to likely voters. That comes back to the idea that the likely voters are more engaged, more knowledgeable about the candidates, and that that helps challengers disproportionately. And in the case of Vukmir Baldwin, it's actually quite a gap between those two.
In terms of the issues that are important to voters, you asked them to rank their first and second most important issues. What did people tell you, Charles?
Well, jobs and the economy ended up at the top of just about all the rankings, despite a pretty good economy. I think that just reflects that we always have economic concerns no matter what. But the next was K-12 education, health coverage, and not so much as a top priority, but when you put in the second priority, the condition of roads and highways comes into the top four. I think certainly on K-12 education, you have two candidates who have a lot of involvement with education over the years. But maybe on the Senate side, health coverage is a big thing, and roads is something about which governors have a lot to say. So each of these could be a major issue in the campaign.
You also asked people about President Trump, and one of the questions I thought was very interesting was you asked if they thought President Trump cared about them. How did people respond to that question?
39% cares about me, 57% not.
That's
but
overall.
Big party differences. That's overall. Big party differences. 80% of Republicans think he cares about them, only 5% of Democrats. But maybe the most important is independents, where it's 33 cares, 62 does not. Dems and reps are pretty similar in size in our data. independents actually could be a fairly important swing vote this time, and seeing that 33-62 split suggests that at least President Trump has to be a little concerned about where independents are on this.
And briefly, as we wrap up, there's been a lot of discussion about President Trump remaking the Republican Party into the party of Trump. What did you hear from Republicans about whether they think that's a change for the better?
Well, overall, it was 26 better, 44 worse. Among Republicans, it was 55 better, 11 worse, and 28 didn't know. But the interesting thing is there, Republicans give Trump an 87% job approval rating, but only 55% say he's changed the party for the better. So there's a little bit of a gap there that may be interesting to follow. How does that play out?
Well, Charles, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That was Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, with us to talk about their first poll results since last week's primaries.